Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For more on that and for more on this game and the schedule to come and everything that's gone on this year, let's welcome in our guest on the guest line right now on the hotline from the Boston Herald. Our good friend Doug Kide joins us here on the Christian Arcand Show. Mr. Kide, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you doing, Christian?
I'm doing great. Really hard not to be right now with a statement win like that going into the bye in a week where I thought this team was going to be showing signs of fatigue and, you know, just maybe overlooking a team like the Giants trying to get to that bye. That was the opposite of that, about as impressive of a win, I think, as they've had all year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I was right there with you. I thought that I predicted the Patriots to win, but I thought this could potentially be a trap game for them. Giants had been pretty competitive for the last few weeks. Granted, that was with Jameis Winston at quarterback. Jackson Dart didn't look as good, but yeah, major statement win. I think they did, you know, Vrabel wore the no naps vest last week. I felt like they might have napped a little bit in the second half, but ultimately, with how well they played in the first half, it didn't matter.
We didn't see this team all year, Doug. We didn't see this team going out and lighting guys up like that. We haven't really, you know, no one's really considered this defense to be some bleep-kicking defense with a bunch of guys who will go out there and take your head off. That just wasn't really a big part of their identity. They were sort of this run-stopping team with some good guys in the secondary and not really much of an edge rush and, you know, not really getting after the quarterback that much. Last night, they looked completely different on defense. Was that a shock to you to see them out there playing like that?
It was surprising, but I think that was a huge positive because they could have been a little tired and a little, especially in the first half. Like, it's been a long season, haven't had the bye week yet. I think it's tough for guys sometimes to play on prime time too, just because you sit around all day, you kind of lose some of your energy. So obviously Mike Vrabel and the rest of the coaching staff did a very good job of getting their team pumped up and ready for that Monday night game. I think it's fun for players to play in prime time, but I do think it's difficult. So that was another huge positive, especially to see Christian Ellis, you know, running around and flying around and lighting guys up out there. Definitely a good performance to head into the bye, with as much energy as they did.
Yeah, certainly agree with that. And you look at these last two teams that they played, Doug, the Bengals and the Giants, two teams with some of the worst defenses in the league, certainly against the rush. The Bengals did a good job, I thought, defensively against the Patriots for the most part. They didn't score a lot of points against them on offense. Then there was this game. They were galvanized a little bit by that Marcus Jones punt return, but offensively it seemed like they were getting mostly what they wanted. What was the difference in their approach in this game as opposed to what wasn't quite working against Cincinnati?
I think one thing was that Ramondre Stevenson was just running a lot better in this game. I know he only finished with 3.3 yards per carry, but he was running hard early in the game. Looked like he was over that toe injury that still seemed like it was lingering and bothering him against the Bengals. So I think that was definitely a factor, but also just Drake May looked much better in this game. I thought his game against the Bengals was maybe his worst of the season, one of the worst of the season, especially accuracy-wise, and it was good to see him get over that in this game because he was delivering very accurate balls deep. He had the fade in the end zone to Kayshon Booty. This was really one of his best games of the season. So I think it's just small things with this team. It was really good also just to see him have as much trust as he did in the offensive line, because I wouldn't have been surprised if he had come out and, you know, played some quick game, tried to get rid of the ball quickly, escaping the pocket, maybe even turning the ball over. But he really didn't seem bothered at all by the fact that he didn't have Will Campbell or Jared Wilson out there. It helps that Verian Lowe and Ben Brown played well. But I thought it would affect him more.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that with Lowe and Brown out there. You know, there's been a lot of back and forth about this offensive line and how good they've actually been this year. Are they actually good? Or are they just better than last year's offensive line? And then you got two guys from last year's offensive line playing. Yeah. They didn't seem to be making any big mistakes out there. I thought that largely Brian Burns was kept under control. Abdul Carter had the one sack, but he was, you know, benched for the first quarter too. So that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, I mean, really with the offensive line and those guys having to step up like that, it was very nice to see. A guy like Doug Marrone, I mean, we have talked about him before. Is a guy like him coaching that offensive line, Josh McDaniels, do you think that had a lot to do with why they were able to hold the line up there?
Yeah, I think the coaching is a huge factor, and just the fact that there's more talent across the board on the offensive line. Obviously, Michael Wenu was part of the group last year, but Garrett Bradbury is an upgrade over what they had for the whole season last year at center. Morgan Moses, a massive upgrade at right tackle. So that plays a big factor. But I think coaching, scheme, technique, all those things play a factor as well. And I mean, Josh McDaniels saw how Dante Scarnecchia ran the offensive line for years and years and years. I think that Dante Scarnecchia did a very good job of masking what could have been some weaknesses on the Patriots offensive line for years. Obviously, Tom Brady did that as well, but they didn't always have the most talented five guys up there, but they always made it work. And it is, they've got three strong offensive line coaches this year, and Vrabel always mentions the three guys. You had Doug Marrone, Jason Hotelling, and Robert Kugler. Those guys all have different roles across the offensive line. I think it's really valuable to have all three of those guys so that, you know, one of them specializing in tackles, one of them in guards and centers, one of them's kind of overseeing everything. So I think that really helps as well. The other factor too is that Verian Lowe is playing with a shoulder injury almost all of last year. We found that out last week. Mark Daniels of Mass Live talked to him, said he was playing with a torn labrum. So obviously getting that fixed and being fully healthy, playing at his natural position of left tackle, all of those things, I think, played a factor as well.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What got into Christian Ellis? 10 tackles. He led the team in tackles, had a couple of big, big hits. That one on Olszewski, which I felt bad for him. It was clearly shaken up from that one. But, no flag on the play. Didn't really see him. It was kind of a bang-bang play there. The hit on Dart, which is going to be one of the signature, I think, plays of this entire season. What got into that guy? I mean, he looked like a madman out there.
Yeah, really impressive performance. He started the season slow with some missed tackles, but he's actually really rounded back into shape over the back half of the season. But I'd say that was his best game of the season, just having those impact plays. And I mean, yeah, on the dart hit, All the Patriots players and everyone's been saying it. Chris Nellis said it on the air with you guys, with Jones and Keith. Like, if the quarterback is running down the sideline and he's trying to pick up extra yards to get the first down, what else are you going to do right there than hit him? Like, you have to lay the lumber. You have to prove a point. But you also have to stop him from getting the first down, because clearly Jackson Dart was trying to get the first down. Ellis stopped him 1 yard short. And then obviously the penalty pushed him back there. But that was a great play by him to cover that much ground and knock him out there before the first down. And the Olszewski play was unfortunate. Gunner was a good guy here in New England. And that just looked like, to me, at least on the end zone replay, that when Marte Mapu hit Olszewski, it turned him and then turned him into Christian Ellis. It looked to me like Ellis was trying to lead with the shoulder, and then it was kind of incidental contact with the helmet-to-helmet hit. I know that Giants fans see that a different way. It's kind of interesting how much I've seen on Twitter that they thought the Patriots were playing dirty. They thought the Patriots were headhunting. I mean, outside of that one play, I don't think there was – I guess there was the penalty with Jalen Hawkins as well, but – this has not been a dirty team this year. This has not been a headhunting team. So I know that fans kind of get in their feelings when they lose. That's what it seems like to me here.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Pretty sneaky, big special teams game too. You just mentioned the Olszewski and the fumble there. There was Behringer shanking that punt. the worst field goal attempt I've ever seen in my life. And for the Giants there, and Marcus Jones establishing himself now as maybe an all-time great punt returner. This team, special teams-wise, I know that Behringer had the shank, but other than that, I mean, they've been very, very good this year. Who do you give most of the credit for that to?
Yeah, I think that Vrabel obviously plays a big influence, but Jeremy Springer has done a very good job over the last 2 years with the special teams unit. And just the fact that they were able to have that kind of performance without Brendan Schooler, also Brendan Schooler, their best special teams player, one of the best ones in the NFL, was out with the ankle injury, and they were still able to do that. Obviously, yeah, you mentioned the shank from Bryce Behringer. Andy Borgalis also had a miss, but Borgalis has been very good since really week two of the NFL season. Yeah, I give credit to all those guys. Tom Quinn, he's the assistant. Jeremy Springer always gives a lot of credit to Tom Quinn as well, especially working with the kickers. And I think some of it, too, was just that the Giants special teams was a mess. I mean, you had the opening kickoff with Terrell Jennings going 39 yards, as you mentioned, the Marcus Jones touchdown. But he had some other good punt returns as well. And then, I mean, I know Younghoe Koo is blaming the fact that the ball was moving for why he kicked the ground rather than kicking the ball. But I mean, in that situation, if you're Younghoe Koo, kick the ball. Like, I don't care if the ball's moving. What's a better end to that play? Letting your holder get killed by Jeremiah Farms, or maybe shanking a field goal? Like, the end result of that play is much better if you get your foot on the ball. So I really did not like that excuse from Koo.
You just made Joe Braverman a very happy guy, because he made that same point about Brendan Schooler, and I poo-pooed it as, oh, wow, they couldn't do it without Brendan Schooler. So he gave me a big ha-ha right in my earphones as you brought that one up as well. I don't want to argue with that now because we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you this. Did the way they played against the Giants last night, does that change your outlook here on these next two games coming up against Buffalo and Baltimore? Do you feel differently about those games now?
I don't know if I specifically feel differently about those games, because it's just so much more difficult opponents. I think it changes how I feel about the rest of the season, though. And I have been really hesitant to mention Super Bowl with this team, but just the way the rest of the league is playing, the fact that there's no real dominant team out there, especially in the AFC, like, it's really not that crazy to start talking about this team as potentially being Super Bowl contenders. I mean, Mike Vrabel even said something about champions today in his press conference as well, which I looked up the transcripts throughout the year. He had not said the word champion before this one. So it seems like he might also be kind of thinking that this team has that kind of potential.
Interesting. Very interesting. Good stuff there. Doug Kye, great to talk with you as always, sir. Doug Kye of the Boston Herald, thanks so much for the time tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.